Good morning and welcome. Whether you're here in person or you're joining us online, may you feel God's presence as we gather to worship Him today. It is all about Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And today we're going to be hearing about truth. There's many other truths, if you will, that people are espousing in this day and age. But we're going to look at the truth that is Jesus, the truth that we find in the Bible, the ultimate truth, the real truth, the absolute truth. So, Lord, guide us into truth. Your words are truth. Let us hear from Him through His word.
Our first reading is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I am astonished that you so quickly are deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Our second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So ends our reading.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 23 through 27. Jesus speaking. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church at this time? Feel free. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that it would speak to us loud and clear, you know, today and every day, Lord. Help us to interpret it correctly and preach it accordingly. Amen. All right, in the readings today, we're hearing about false teachers and false prophets. In the first reading of Galatians, we're in the early church here. The church, Christianity, had not really solidified yet. They didn't have, you know, the full scriptures. Obviously, they had the Old Testament. The New Testament was coming here and there in letters that are being circulated, letters written by Paul to certain churches, circular letters written by Peter and John. And when people gathered to worship, of course, they would sing songs, they would read from the Old Testament, they would praise God, and then perhaps read some of these letters and things as well. But being the foundation had not been firmly set for Christianity yet. It was a new religion, right? It's based on Judaism, but it's the next level here because the Messiah has come and everything has changed through Jesus' death and resurrection. So many were spreading it and going out and teaching it, with their own little twists on it sometimes. Again, they didn't have the word to guide and correct them, with the word in its fullness. And some probably with good intent. They're going out and bringing the gospel to various lands, but unrealizing it, you know, including their own interpretation, their own understanding of things, which can be very dangerous. That's one reason we gather together to study scriptures on Tuesday morning. I'll think of this verse as a certain way, and then someone else will say something, oh yeah, that makes more sense, or you're right. You know, some of this is sort of hard to interpret at times. Others, parts are very, very clear. So a lot of study goes into this, into the translation, especially when these scriptures were translated from Hebrew or Greek into English. Whole committees of people get together, they'd pray, and they would take great care with each word, especially with the punctuation and trying to fit that in correctly, because one comma can change everything to give us what we have today. But in the time of Paul here, there's different versions of Christianity that are popping up too. We had Docetism, which said that Jesus did not come in the flesh, that it was sort of an illusion or a hologram, if you will. That's what people are saying, God cannot become flesh. There was Gnosticism, which said all everything of the spirit is pure, but anything of the flesh is corrupt, and we can only get to salvation by having a certain knowledge that we'd unlock. Sounds sort of like a cult, doesn't it? And yeah, we have that today as well. There were different cults springing up, and some of them had a little bit of Christianity as their foundation. And if there's a seed of truth, a lie is a lot easier to believe. So we have to be aware of that as well. There are many false teachers yet today. Another danger is syncretism. We see that through the Old Testament and even today. Saul, this is what got him. He had so many wives, and they brought their own religions with them. And pretty soon they were starting to get mixed with the true beliefs. So syncretism is a very dangerous thing where other things can sort of leak in and make our worship and our teachings impure, which of course would be bad before God, right? He is holy. Nothing impure can exist in his presence. Another one is like religious buffets, where people say, oh, I'll take a little bit of Hinduism. I like this truth from Buddhism, and I'll take this Christianity, and I'll sort of mold it together into my own. People are chasing that. Again, here at Shalom, as Christians, we believe that this is the truth right here. If it's not in here, it's not the truth. People are making up their own truths. They always have. They are today, and they always will. But we stand on this as the truth. So, Lord, lead us into truth. You are truth. Today we have other cults, many of them, you know, the Moonies or Jim Jones, the People's Temple, things like that, very obvious. Others look sort of like Christianity. We have like the Mormons or Latter-day Saints, where people see them and thinking, oh, you know, they got these nice temples and this wonderful choir, and they must be great, huh? Well, you look into their beliefs. They believe that God was once human, and they became God. And also that we as humans can become gods as well. That's right there in their teachings. Along with the Bible, which they recognize, they have the Book of Mormon, which they hold in equal regard and equal authority. So they're adding to scriptures what they're doing by having that book with its teachings, which are, of course, false. And they have misled many people. Jehovah's Witnesses, again, sound pretty Christian. Well, dig into their teachings a little bit. Jesus is not God. He's actually Michael the Archangel, according to them, come in human form. They also have their own version of the Bible, the New World Translation, which I guess I haven't read, but there are differences, of course, between that and our scripture. So again, they seek to mislead many. Pray for these people. Come alongside them. If they knock on my door, I invite them into pray together and to study scripture. They don't always take me up on it. But hey, if you're uncomfortable doing that, send them to my place. Okay, you've got my address. Send them there. I would love to meet with them. I offer to pray with them, and like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will only pray to Jehovah through Jesus. That's the only way they'll pray. You know, I'll pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, of course. They're really uncomfortable with that. But again, these are people that we should have compassion on. We should not be condemning them because they're different. You know, it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to come to him. and in the right way through Jesus, of course. So Paul then is trying to set people straight through his travels and then through his letter here as well. And he's writing to the people of Galatia, And I am astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. These different versions, which is really no gospel at all. If there's any falsehood in it, of course, it's gone. It doesn't work. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion, absolutely, and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And here it has the word trying to pervert the gospel of Christ here. Not that they're accidentally perverting it, but they're trying to. Now that's next level. If someone's trying to lead others astray. There are those that maybe accidentally lead others astray, but they're trying to. Yeah, we're talking millstone time. If anyone would lead one of these little ones astray, it's better for him that a millstone be tied around his neck, be tossed into the depths of the sea. And we're not, little ones, we're not talking just little kids, right? Us as children of God. And anybody who tries to lead us astray with other teachings. Yeah, millstone time. And he brings it to the next level. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. So if we or even an angel teaches something different, let them be under God's curse. Now, to be under God's blessing is a beautiful thing, to have his presence, to have his peace, to have him available to us at all times and places. But to be under God's curse, I don't want to, ever experience that, of course, and to imagine that, to be under God's curse, to have him against you, a curse from him himself, I mean, this is serious. Paul is taking this very seriously. And he continues, as we have already said, so now I say again, he's repeating for emphasis. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. So he reemphasizes it here. He repeats it. The dangers of this. And to lead others astray, that would be horrible. Like I've said before, if I ever preach anything up here that's questionable, please, please, please talk to me afterwards. Let me know. I seek to preach this in its truth and its fullness. And here in the LCMC, we don't have bishops over us or anything like that are checking up on us. You are versed in Scripture, pun intended. Okay, hopefully well-versed in Scripture. And if you hear anything wrong, let me know. Because I do not ever want to lead anybody astray or into a false teaching. We have to take this seriously. We must preach the truth and not depart from it or add to it. Again, like the Book of Mormon, adding to it. Okay. Paul continues, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? Well, no, sometimes people are going to reject us. They're going to persecute us if we are speaking the truth. But let us, again, speak it in a loving way, not a condemning way. Very important to remember that. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ, he says. So yeah, the truth at times will convict people. When we speak the truth, they're going to be convicted. And this truth should convict us as well at times. If we are going astray, this truth should convict us. Should make us pause, reflect, see where we've gone wrong. Where we need to confess and repent and turn back to God. And that's for all of us. Not just the people that are outwardly going the wrong way. We all stray. You know, not one is worthy. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But we have a God who is willing to take us back, willing to redeem us and just to welcome us. No matter how far prodigal we go, if we turn back to him genuinely, he will welcome us back. So these false teachings were a problem back in the day there in the early spread of Christianity. And I can see how these other things could leak in. Again, the teachings have not been solidified. And there are some who are intentionally trying to lead others astray as well. And we know what the source of that is. You trace it back far enough, our enemy is at work. And he wants to separate us from God. That is his whole purpose, his whole intent is to separate us from God, if possible, for eternity. But the more he can drive us away from the truth, drive wedges in there, he he will do so in any way, shape, or form. So we have to be on our guard. Now, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that would be us. So let us be on our guard. Let us be forewarned and forearmed that these teachings are going to come along. And it's not only in history, it's also today we see false teachings. In 2 Timothy, we had heard today, this is Paul's final letter. He's writing to Timothy, to his spiritual son. Timothy is going to take the lead after Paul is gone because he knows his time is short. He's about to be executed. And he's giving Timothy encouragement and advice throughout this letter, through 1 and 2 Timothy, through both actually. So he said, in the view of God and Jesus Christ, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. That's for all of us. To preach the word by how we live and also by what we say. To be ambassadors for Christ. That our lives would be a testimony to his glory and his goodness and his greatness and his love. It's not about us, it's about him. And to be prepared. Be prepared for what? Well, be prepared for a second coming. Be prepared to share the truth with others. There's many things that we are prepared for. But being prepared to share that truth is a good one too, for sure. As we meet people who aren't sure about God or his existence or about Christianity, that we can bring them in, that we can share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that they too can become a part of this family, part of the body of Christ, and have hope for this life and for eternity as a result. He tells us to correct, rebuke, and encourage each other with great patience and careful instruction. We've preached this before, to correct, to rebuke, and to encourage. Big on the encourage, right? But if I ever need correction, do it in a gentle way. Let me know, hey? And we all should have that attitude that, hey, we all need correcting at times, but let's do it in a loving way. Not condemning, of course. All right, so now we get into the meat of the false teaching, why I selected this passage here, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a large, great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Yeah, we see that. People that are making up their own truths, what's acceptable, things like that. And then reinforcing each other. They're itching to hear this, to be reaffirmed in their beliefs. And we have to deal with this because we are in the world, but not of the world. Okay, examples. We got the lesbian, gay thing. The transgender. Have compassion on these people, okay? It would be so easy to condemn them, but no, have compassion. They're following down the wrong road. They don't realize it. And they want people to affirm them. They're itching ears. They just want to hear that what they're doing is okay. But I was thinking this morning as we were worshiping, what would Jesus be doing? Would he be condemning them or would he be coming alongside them in a compassionate way? Does he want everybody to come to truth? Yes, absolutely. He ate with the tax collectors and sinners. It was the religious people that he condemned, the Pharisees. So when we encounter these people that are caught up in lies, that are caught up in different beliefs that they see as true, let us also have compassion on them. Try to build a relationship with them, that we can bring them to truth, that they can experience Jesus and the truth that can set them free, that can change them, change their lives. They'll have a great testimony. Here's what I used to be, but here's what I am today, thanks to Jesus, what the Holy Spirit can do within us. So that's one that we really need to take note of. Again, today we have false teachings that are so prevalent. A small minority has such a huge voice, and they are saying that these things are okay and acceptable, and everybody's just starting to follow along and believe it. But being led further from God in the process, being led further from the truth in the process. Again, it needs to be addressed, but in a compassionate and a loving way, not in a condemning way. So Lord, give us the tools, give us the words at those times when we have these opportunities. Maybe around the lunchroom or somewhere someone's speaking out that we can address it in the right way. And yeah, sometimes we're going to be looked down upon as a result, but let us stand for truth. We must answer to God rather than man. We must stand for what is right. and we are caught in this uncomfortable position. We're on this tightrope. If we go to one side, we're going to fall. If we go to the other side, we're going to fall. We have to navigate this somehow. But God, give us the tools. Give us the words to navigate this. All right, so they don't put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, and again, it's what they want, they will gather around them, not what God wants, a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. Absolutely, we see that. This is with false teachers, this is with cults, but this is also with ideologies today. Turning away from the truth and turning aside to these myths. But he tells us, you, Timothy, but also us, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, bring that good news to others, discharge all the duties of your ministry. As I was pondering this and thinking about these false teachings, I was thinking about how they get spread. That has changed since the days of Paul. We now have the internet, which can be used for wonderful things. Absolutely. But is influencing the minds of our youth in such a way as they're looking on their TikToks or the other sites and things like that and being led astray and being affirmed in lies. If you can control thinking, you can control people. And there's a lot of that going on where these developing minds are being told these things and they're starting to just accept it and believe it. They're being deceived. And through the internet, deception can reach the masses quickly. It can spread around the world so quickly. And our enemy, of course, can use that. It's a highway for the Antichrist is what it's going to be. Now, I have nothing against the internet, okay? It can be used for wonderful things. I enjoy it all the time. All right? And it's a great thing. I'm researching sermons. I'm watching bull hunting videos on YouTube, whatever. Okay, there's all kinds of good things. But just think of the damage that it can do as well. It's a tool that can be used for good or used for evil, of course. But false prophets can now get their word to so many more people, so much more quickly through this tool. And we have to be on our guard. We have to be aware. And we have to stand firm once again in a loving way. Again, we're sort of caught in the middle on all this. But these false teachers have been around. False teachers are here today, and they are coming again in the future as well. And Jesus addressed that in the gospel that we heard today. He's talking about as the second coming approaches, the end times. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Yeah, we have a lot of false prophets, false messiahs, false teachers that sound very convincing. And they will, some of them, perform great signs and wonders such that even the elect, even the believers, could possibly be deceived. And Lord, protect us from that. We believe in you. We want to stand for you and not be swayed by these other things. And they can be very convincing. If you look to Revelation, which speaks of the very end times, you'll hear about a beast that made the earth and its heavens worship the first beast, the second beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in the full view of the people. And a lot of people are going to look at that and go, wow, what power. I'm going to believe in this, huh? Because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. So through false teachings, false prophecies, and through someday the Antichrist, many will be deceived. Well, we know that narrow is the path and few are those that find it, and broad is the path that leads to destruction. A lot of people are going to be convinced by these other things. And a lot of people are being convinced by other things. Again, let us have compassion on them. Let us guide them into truth, into the true way and the right way, that they would not be deceived. So this will be so convincing, again, that it'll deceive, if possible, even the elect. And Jesus says, see, I have told you ahead of time. Forewarned is forearmed. If we ever start to see these things in our lifetime, your antenna should be up because we've been forewarned. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the wilderness, speaking of the Messiah, right? Or do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. People are going to say that they are Jesus, the second coming. Again, it has happened. The Moonies, Jung Yong Moon says, "I am the second coming," okay? Just as one example. But there will be no doubt when he does come. No doubt whatsoever. For as the lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. It will be obvious to all. There will be the blast of trumpets. There will be the shout of the angels, and he's going to come riding on those clouds, and we can't wait. As believers, we will be caught up into heaven with him, and it's going to be great. That is our eternal destination. For many others, it's going to be the worst day of their life. So while we are here, let us encourage others in their faith. Let us show compassion to those that are going down wrong roads, that they can be led onto the right way, that they can rejoice also in this day when that second coming comes. These false teachers will bring false hope. They'll play on people's desires. They'll be convincing to many. But let us not be deceived. Again, let us stand for truth, showing compassion to others, bringing them along for the ride. Say, hey, I want to tell you about the real way, the real hope that we have, the joy that we have, not only in this life, but in the life to come and for eternity. Lord, help us to make these connections that people can be brought to truth, for you are truth. Amen.